It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In a few days, Pennsylvania will finally have its first complete budget since late June, a fiscal year 2015-2016 budget in place. Governor Wolf, facing pressure from state-funded agencies and fellow Democrats, says he will allow a $6 billion funding plan to become law, but without his signature, because he says the budget is unbalanced and bad for the state. And the governor is vetoing the fiscal code, often referred to as the budget user's manual. What does all this mean going forward? I'm joined now by Patriot News and Penn Live Opinions editor John Micek to explain this long and winding road that led to a budget 9 months after the deadline. Good day, John.
Paul, how are you? Thanks for having me.
So our long statewide nightmare is finally over, or is it?
Well, just in time for a new one to start up, Paul. As you correctly mentioned in your open, we are just a couple of days away now from ending the 2015-2016 budget saga, only to jump knees first in there, and feet first, rather, into the debate over the 2016-2017 budget, where a lot of the issues that were left unsettled from this agreement will be litigated. So we are out of the frying pan and into a slightly hotter frying pan, I guess. But it is an encouraging sign that, you know, the curtain's finally been run down on 15-16. It's getting money to schools and some other stuff, but we are far from finished.
So what made this finally happen? The last week we were hearing about the Republicans putting this budget proposal forward, and the governor immediately looked at it and didn't like the smell of it and said he was going to veto it, said that's what he was going to do, that there was no way he was going to let this go through. But something changed in the last few days. What do you suppose it was?
As my 10-year-old daughter would say, because math.
because math.
Anywhere from 13 to 28 Democrats who crossed the aisle to vote with Republicans to send this budget bill to Governor Wolf. These were Democrats who were going home to their districts every single weekend and getting hammered by their constituents, by social service providers, by school districts who are saying, why do you want to veto this? Get this done. So what ended up happening is that on Monday, legislative leaders went in and met with Governor Wolf and said, hey, put the cap back on your veto pin. Would you there? Because for one thing, if you do it, we have the votes to override you. And the other thing was is that with about two and a half months left in the fiscal year, fighting over the, there wouldn't be enough time to get the money to these school districts anyway. They would have run out the clock. So better to get what you can to them while you can, and then litigate the issue after that.
One of the things that we're reading this morning is that one of our area senators, Senator Costa, Jay Costa, mm-hmm. a Democrat from Forest Hills, said that he and other Democrats, that he said that if Governor Wolf had chosen to veto the appropriations bill, he believes Democrats would have stood with the governor to prevent an override from succeeding. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, I think they were coming together on that, but I mean, we were talking to other Democrats as well who said they'd had enough, that they were done. Senator Costa is the Democratic minority leader of the state Senate. He is the highest ranking Democrat in the state Senate. And when you are the highest ranking Democrat in the state Senate, the thing you do is you stand with a Democratic governor and try to keep your guys on side. I know of at least three Senate Democrats who are on the bubble, and you had many more over in the state House. So it's an encouraging noise from Senator Costa, but I think if a vote came down, there'd be a heck of a lot of whipping they would have to do to make sure everybody stayed where they were supposed to stay.
What did you make of the governor's appearance yesterday? He gave a statement to say, I'm going to let this go through. We'll have a budget in a few days. I don't agree with it. I'm not going to sign it, but it's time to just end this. There really right. seemed to be just an air of resignation, almost of defeat on the governor's face yesterday. I'm curious what your impressions were.
And this is the first so-called pocket veto. This is what they refer to when they let something lapse into law without their signature that we've seen since the Schaaf years. one can't blame the governor for being a little tired and a little frustrated after whatever it is, 9+ months of fighting with Republicans over his budget priorities. And to a certain extent, Republicans who wanted to hold the line on tax increases and spending increases were handed a fairly significant victory here. The governor, I got about $200 million, if I recall correctly, in new school spending, which is about half of what he sought. So there was, you know, there was some stuff in there for him to like as well. He didn't get all of what he was looking for, certainly, but you know, honestly, that's what politics is about. It's an imperfect art. You try to get the most that you can or the best that you can. And it seems like, you know, he walked away from this a little bit miserable and not entirely happy with what he got. But, you know, them's the breaks and that's the game.
And certainly there are some aspects of this. You know, reality is going to strike at some point here, sooner rather than later. But as far as just the relief that is being felt in the state among certain agencies and certainly the schools, I mean, what is the sense that you're getting from Harrisburg, John, about just the reaction from people in the state to this finally being over?
Well, I mean, there's sort of an exhalation of breath here in a bit. I mean, if you are Penn State or out in your neck of the University of Pittsburgh, come May 1, things were going to get very uncomfortable for you. Penn State was talking about laying off as many as 1,100 people in their agricultural extension programs, just for instance. They finally approved the so-called funding bill, for the so-called non-preferreds, which are the state-related universities, which will continue to allow them to offer subsidized tuition to in-state residents. We had Eric Barron, the president of Penn State University, here at my office a couple of weeks ago, who's saying, well, you know, if they didn't get their act together on the funding bill, then we would have to simply start accepting more out-of-state students and just to make up the funding discrepancy. So this is very important. If you are a university student, this is going to start university in the fall, this is a very big deal indeed. If you are a school district, it's a very big deal. I know that two districts out in western Pennsylvania, Aliquippa in Beaver County and Charleroi, which I think is down there in Fayette County, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's correct.
But they said come May 1, they too were going to run out of money and would have to close because they could no longer borrow. So, you know, as big deals go, this is a pretty freaking big deal. Again, it's not perfect. It doesn't give Governor Wolf as much as he wants on schools, but it does allow him to live to fight another day and try to go for it again in his 16-17 budget.
How much damage has been done to these agencies? I mean, they had to borrow money. A lot of these nonprofits, for example, were in a position where in lieu of state funds being pipelined in as they normally are, they had to borrow money to stay afloat. And of course, you have to pay interest on the money you borrow. And they've been doing this for 9 months. So, how long is it going to take for these agencies to recover?
Yeah, you know, that's one thing I got to go back and check on, because I think there was going to be language in the fiscal code at one point that was going to make them whole on interest payments, and I think that might have gotten dropped. I wasn't sure it was put back in, so that is actually something I have to look at, because, you know, they are going to eat a lot in interest costs. Just as taxpayers are forced to eat a lot in realization costs for these loans for school districts, for hundreds of millions of dollars, according to Auditor General Eugene DePasquale. But for these small nonprofits that are, you know, surviving on a shoestring and utterly dependent on state funds to keep their doors open and provide the services they did, this has been a really rough 9 months. You know, people who might have been able to receive services maybe got turned away. Maybe these organizations had to lay off employees. It has not been pleasant for that sector at all.
And of course, there's the oft-used term of kicking the can down the road. In the meantime, you know, there's this sense of relief, maybe even some euphoria, as you suggested. Mm-hmm. But it seems as though adding to that sense of relief is the two big dark clouds hanging over our heads in Pennsylvania were this budget impasse and also the Kathleen Kane controversy, which has died down for now. But by this summer, we're looking at back-to-back months in which, in July, we could very well be looking at another budget fight. And the next month in August, isn't that when Kathleen Kane's trial starts?
Yeah, I mean, God help us, the days of quiet summers are gone. But I mean, the one thing, though, Paul, that you talk about kicking the can down the road, and this is in all seriousness, still left unaddressed, is the state's very large and very looming public pensions crisis. Those are underfunded to something like the tune of $600 million or something like that. The state is still looking at a $2.2 billion structural deficit, and that has to be addressed through some form of new revenue, whether that's liquor privatization, some sort of tax increase, some tax on natural gas drillers. I don't know what form it's going to take. That is certainly all out there. Compounding the difficulty of getting this done, as you well know, is that this year is an election year. And if you thought lawmakers burst into flames when they talk about tax increases in an off year, can you only imagine what's going to happen when you try to shove that down their throats when they're all running for re-election in primaries and generals? The administration has a hugely difficult task ahead of it in the coming months, and it's going to be just unbelievable to watch, I think.
So what do you think the chances are that by July 1st we're going to be right back in the situation we were in earlier this week?
I would love to be an optimist about this, but I don't think I'm going to be. Probably come July 1, we won't have a budget either.
John Micek is the opinions editor for the Patriot News and Penn Live, joining us from Harrisburg. John, thank you for your insights. Enjoy this breath of fresh air for now.
I hate to go out on a downer, but thanks very much.
Thank you, John. Coming up, we will talk live from Harrisburg with House Speaker Mike Terzai. That is ahead following our Celebrates series here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.